I wanted it to be like all the people who say they never been to Detroit and they want me to show them around. Like, I kind of felt like this was that. Like, if you don't know these people, you're not in the right place.
A lot of people who are not in Detroit come to know the city through its creative brand. What if we skipped the ad industry treatment and saw Detroit through the eyes of the artists who live here?
Detroit is a city in Michigan located on Native Anishinaabe land.
Motown has influenced every mode of music.
The Motown sound has been something that I've always been with.
My mom used to just listen to like Martha Reeves and like Diana Ross, Stevie Wonder.
The legacy of Motown is about getting the emotion exactly right.
That and it's different.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Showing Up, Showing Out tells the story of the past, present, and future of Motown. It's a showplace for the music, fashions, and creators of the Motor City. And the thing that the filmmakers were doing with this is reminding us that maybe Detroit's best creative days aren't behind us. Maybe the old days shaped what will happen in this city, this year and beyond. Just as Motown is a Detroit gem that went global, so this film is too. It was recently nominated for 4 awards at Fashion Film Festival Milano. Today, we're talking to the creators of this film, writer, host, and creative consultant Imani Mixon, and her partner on this project, filmmaker and creative director Margot Bowman. I started out by asking Margot how they came together for the project.
I have to say it was definitely fate's hand. I was approached about doing the project, and at that kind of early stage, I knew that like it was something that I wanted to collaborate really equitably with someone from Detroit on. So I'd spent some time in Detroit and had some like music friends and just kind of put feelers out looking for like a writer or a poet that I could collaborate with on the film. And a friend of mine was like, you know, I just met this person called Imani. She's really great. I don't know her, but I actually just think she's right.
Mm-hmm. So I was looking at my DMs, and the guy you're talking about, Joey, he messaged me in like April of 2019. And by November of 2019, the film was out, which is wild. So he was like, my friend is a poet. And I was like, okay, cool. Maybe this is a one-time event thing. And it turned into a whole divinely created situation.
You just answered my next question about when this film was made. I did not even know until I was watching it how starved I am to see people together, people dancing and making music, and people just enjoying each other. I mean, there are scenes from clubs and shows, but also record shops and just hanging out.
Yeah, we did a lot of filming during Movement, which was really intentional, and it was perfect because Toon Day was headlining. So, or no, not Movement, it was Pride because Toon Day was performing. And I think that spirit that you get from watching the film is exactly what it was like making it happen, where for me, I was like, I'm just going to involve every cool person that I know that is thinking about the same stuff. And those are people I would be hanging out with anyway. So it was nice to like get that on film and ask them more, like, why are we seeking joy? Why are we making such cool stuff?
Was that sort of part of how you narrowed down the artists you were going to work with? There were a lot of choices that you had and names that a lot of folks know, like Toon Day, Alanaran, but also Super Cool Wicked, a little more of an emerging artist. How did you make those choices?
The conversations I was having within my network before this opportunity arose kind of set us up for who to include. So once we got together, it was a matter of getting the story together and then also trying to figure out who the featured artist would be. And we kind of thought about it from a career development or like professional development perspective because they were all at different phases. Toon Day has kind of come up as a very just different, but also pop artists in Detroit, which we don't always get. Super Cool Wicked was about to drop her first album, and we thought that Aya was a nice ode to like classically trained musicians that also are a big legacy in Detroit. So there were a lot of people in the roster, and if they weren't featured as an artist, they were likely featured with the purple background or like at the party. So I feel like I wanted it to be like all the people who say they never been in Detroit and they want me to show them around. Like, I kind of felt like this was that. Like, if you don't know these people, you're not in the right place. Or if you haven't heard of this, you're not having the right conversations. So that's how it came to be. And I think me and Margo just kind of thought about who would mesh well together and be able to talk. And then we got some legends in there, too.
Yeah, Martha Reeves. And Aya, for those who may not know, is Aya Simone, the filmmaker and musician who's classically trained in harp.
Growing up, you know, being like gender nonconforming at the time, not being able to have like an acceptable outlet for who I was as a feminine person, essentially the harp was that outlet. I saw the harp as like this bold, dignified, dynamic, beautiful instrument that makes beautiful sounds, and it encapsulated all of the qualities that I had hoped to embody as a woman and as a young girl growing up. So that was kind of like my way of being feminine and being able to access that space.
Imani, for those who maybe not familiar with her music and her work, can you say a little bit more about Aya?
For sure. So Aya definitely is a beautiful mix of classic harp training and playing, and also is very in tune with sort of dance music and DJs and that kind of stuff. And on paper, those two things probably wouldn't mix, but Aya does a beautiful job of that. And I'll also give a description of Super Cool Wicked in case people don't know. Morgan Hudson, aka Super Cool Wicked, is a beautiful R&B and soul singer. She makes a lot of her own beats. She writes all of her own songs. She does all her own stunts. And I feel like we don't always get like a full circle artist. And Morgan is all things and everything. And she has, you know, a new video coming out called Juliet that I know of. So I think the most beautiful thing about this film is we clearly invested in the artists that we featured. And now it's very fun to see what they do.
You know, Aya has this thing that she says in the film about vulnerability being part of her process that just kind of stopped my heart. And Margot, I don't know if it sounded like something that just came out of her as a matter of course. But I wonder if that was an important piece to include in this film.
You know, I think so much of filmmaking is about trust, and it's really about meeting people on a level and like seeing them eye to eye, and in that moment creating space for them to, you know, show a new side of who they are or kind of expose themselves in a way. So I think that theme of vulnerability that Aya like so eloquently kind of expressed is something that we were all doing together. Like the creative process is a vulnerable one, and it's an honor to share space with people when you're being honest with them and they're being honest with you, and the camera just acts as this amplifier. Because I think, you know, the best outcome for projects is that we use the project as the film is a kind of utopian space where like we present a version of the world that, you know, we want to see. And I think that was definitely the vibe of the film. It was like, it wasn't about creating a perfect world, but it was about creating the best world we could. And by creating the film as like a record of that, then people could watch it and maybe replicate some of those values in their own lives. So that was, you know, you saying you were struck by it, and maybe then you thinking, okay, maybe I'm going to be, you know, more vulnerable today because I've seen that person do that. That was definitely the kind of chain of events that we wanted to spark with the project.
Imani, you're a journalist, but in the film, you know, it sometimes calls on your spoken word work. Could you talk a little bit about the writing process for the narration that you did for this?
Yeah, it was definitely a different role. I'm really good at observing and spending time and quantifying things with words. So that wasn't hard, but it was more about trying to figure out how to call up this energy and how to not let it disappear. So I think Margo and I definitely had certain themes that we were grappling with that we wanted to touch on, such as femininity and ownership and vulnerability and stardom and all these different things. So I would definitely go back to that. But the beauty of film is that I was able to go back and review things as they happened and then write to that. But I think there's also a sense of affirmation. Everything I say is to affirm myself as well as other creatives in the city and ultimately Detroit as a whole. So that was really fun. And I think that it tied the film together in a certain way that wouldn't have been possible without just straight up narration.
Detroit is a city where change manifests through work. With fresh fits, full hearts, and wide open arms, that's just how we get down. For the natives who have been here, for the great people who migrated here, we shift the status quo by making our own standards. It's what Motown did. It's what artists from Detroit have always done. Detroit don't just move, we transform.
When we come back, Imani talks about getting from Detroit's Black history to its Black future. We'll be right back.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
I'm talking today with writer Imani Mixon and filmmaker Margot Bowman, who collaborated on a short film about Detroit called Showing Up, Showing Out. It was nominated for 4 awards at Fashion Film Festival Milano.
It feels so big to represent a city like Detroit and have an entire city behind me. It count, you know, when I say I'm from this place. I'm the first street gangster rapper to sign with Motown Records. Anytime you're the first at anything, that's history.
Our celebrations of Detroit so often touch on the past, but this film draws a really bright line between the economies that paved the way for Black people to come together and essentially create Detroit and the economies that we are building now. And the film's got a lot of really beautifully voiced ideas about what those economies are supporting. And as I was watching it, I kind of caught myself wondering how far we are from that vision. Imani, do you have thoughts on that?
Well, right now is an extreme time where we can't be collectives in the same way. I think what I learned through this process and through other conversations with artists from all different generations here is just that a lot of the things that us millennials, like, we think it's the first time somebody's ever done it or the first time this conflict has ever come up, it's happened time and time again. So I think that we are close to it. We are intentionally coming together and making our own rules. But I think that reaching back and the willingness to reach forward, like from generations, is lacking a little bit. I wish there was a bit more information sharing from one generation or one industry to the next. And I think what we saw in the film specifically was just like, you can't do everything by yourself. If we would have featured one artist or done like a 5-minute thing or something like that, it would not have been the same impact as what we were able to do with that many people and that many faces and voices. So it really is also an ode to community building. The way the film came together was through community. The way that the film was viewed was, you know, with the communal showing at the MOCAD. So it's like, it's very easy to be isolated and to become like a slave to your craft. But we were really focused on what happens when you open that up and when you allow people to also put their hands in and their input in.
As I said, this film was nominated for, among other things, Best Fashion Film at Fashion Film Festival Milano. given Detroit's history as a center of style, that sounds appropriate. Margot, are the people we see in the film deliberately styled or just stylish by default?
Yeah, no. So we worked with a stylist. I mean, firstly, everyone is really stylish. Like, I think that's just a real level set. Let's level set there. Everyone's very stylish and everyone had their own, you know, way of expressing their personality and their identity through their clothing choices. And I think like style, like music, like dance, like theater, you know, these are like these bridges and we all meet each other on the bridge. And it's so important that these bridges exist. But in terms of like the actual film, we worked with a really good friend of mine called Becky Akinyode, and she's very fun and like just an amazing person in general. So she came out to Detroit and she worked like styling because the film is supported by Carhartt, who had created this collection with Motown to celebrate their anniversary. So it was just about kind of having someone who could like weave in these Motown pieces from the Carhartt collection, pull out some extra bits and just kind of, I think, make everyone feel special. Like all the artists we work with, Tunde, Aya and Morgan, they all use clothing in their performance and just in themselves as artists. But it was definitely intentional and it was definitely inspired and informed by everything that these artists bring to the table. And then we were just there to kind of like turn up the volume.
Who did the animations? They're wonderful.
The animation is a really amazing animator who Imani actually knew from Chicago called Mia Lee, aka Hot Fun Mia. And I made the artwork and then she animated my artwork. So working together with her was just like a whole other pleasurable vibe of an experience. And like, I think it's so important to know that like everyone who worked on this film is like, we're all friends now. Like these are people who are like, it's like this really special kind of all around the world. There's already this like network of like artists and creatives who are all kind of in touch with each other, this like special ecosystem. And I think the cool thing about the film is that we got to connect some of those ecosystem points in new ways. And like, those are connections that they're meaningful. You know, they've lasted like a pandemic. So I feel like we're good for the next like minute.
Yeah. And I just want to add to that. I knew Mia not as an animator for real. Like, you know how you have a friend who does a thing, but you don't really know how or when or where. I know Mia through Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. She's a soror and she crossed at Lambda Chapter while I crossed at Theta Alpha at Northwestern. So we know each other like through late night stuff and sisterhood stuff, but it was lovely to see her in her element as an animator for this film. That was a very proud moment for me to be able to include her.
The animation, the amazing color, and just the movement of the edit give this film so much feel-good energy. It's that music festival. It's that summer Sunday afternoon. Why was joy an important element of what you wanted to make here?
Oh, it's like the most important like thing in the world, isn't it? Joy. Like, I don't know, Imani, you say something more eloquent than that.
Well, I was just going to say that that was the most readily available emotion like involved. So from Margot and I meeting to getting the story greenlit by Dazed in Motown to having Margot come over to a living room that I'm in right now and like write a story while she's in town for a couple days and then actually see it come to fruition is a very joyful experience. And I remember at the beginning of 2019 being like, I need some major thing to happen to showcase my work that has a budget that allows me to involve other people. And this film kind of came out of nowhere. And I was thinking about all the possible ways it could not have happened. Like if you and I didn't get along, Margot, if the story didn't stick, if nobody wanted to be involved, if the clothes didn't come on time, like there are all these possibilities that could have ended this and none of those things came true. And the thing that continued to come true was joy and beauty and togetherness. And I don't think we knew how important those elements would be specifically in a time like now. And I haven't seen you in 17,000 years and I don't know when it'll be legal for either one of us to see each other again. But I think we just were thirsty for joy and we found it and we showed everybody else about it.
Imani Mixon is a writer and creative director. We've also been talking with filmmaker Margot Bowman, and they are the brain trust behind Showing Up, Showing Out, a short film that was featured in this year's Fashion Film Festival Milano. It's now streaming online. Imani, Margot, thank you both so much for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find more of Stateside online at michiganradio.org. And if you like what you're hearing, please do rate us and leave a review wherever you listen. We really appreciate it. The executive producer of Stateside is Laura Weber Davis. Today's episode was produced by Mercedes Mejia. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.